We're going to be talking today about the crisis of praying. This is in Daniel chapter 9. And we've been learning the major overarching truth through everything that we've learned from the book of Daniel is to go through these first nine chapters is that before God is going to bless me, God is going to test me. In other words, when God promotes me, it is because God has determined I can handle this. I have shown that I can handle this. And so he promotes me out of that. And Daniel has passed 8 major tests that we've been going through up to this point. He keeps getting promoted time and time and time again. And so it's just a clear teaching of Scripture that as long as I'm here on this planet, as long as I am down here, God's desire is to promote me. Now, promotion doesn't always mean that I get a higher place in some kind of organization or in some kind of company. Even once you reach retirement age or whatever, and you may not be in a company, that doesn't mean God can't promote you. God wants to speak to people all the time. And God uses his word, but his primary tool, of course, is through his people. And God uses us to minister and to speak to other people. And God wants to give you influence. But before God establishes you as an influencer, he wants to know that you are able for him to do that in your behalf. And so, no matter what the stage of your life is, God is wanting to make you an influencer. And one of the things that God is wanting you to learn is he's wanting you and I to learn how to approach him in prayer. I've so many times people will say, it's like I'm not getting my prayers answered and I don't understand what's going on. Well, I understand that. I totally do. But the reality is that God wants us to pray. Prayer is to be a part of my life. And God is a God who answers prayer. The Bible says God hears our prayer. But God is wanting us to come to him a certain way. And one of the things that I want us to think about is, how do you approach God in a crisis? Now, I don't know, maybe you're not in a crisis. And I'm glad for that, if you're not in a crisis. But there will be one. And if you're not in one, if I'm not in one today, I know that somewhere out in my future, there is a crisis coming. Because life on this broken planet creates crises from time to time. Would you agree with that? And so I'm going to get in a crisis, and you are too. And what I want us to understand is that when it comes, we look at the life of Daniel, and we learn how to be praying so that God hears us. And not just that God hears me, but that God responds. That God responds to our praying. And so let's look at Daniel chapter 9. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, who became king of the Babylonians. During this first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was studying the writings of the prophets. I learned from the word of the Lord as recorded by Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I wore rough sackcloth and sprinkled myself with ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, you are great and awesome God. You always fulfill your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and keep your commands. So he's calling out to God and he's glorifying and exalting God for his attributes. And then, he comes into confessional. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you, scorned your commands and your regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke your messages to our kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people of the land. Lord, you're in the right, but our faces are covered with shame, just as you see us now. This is true of us all, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all Israel, scattered near and far. Wherever you have driven us because of our disloyalty to you. So God's people are just kind of scattered. And that's just a consequence of sin. And that is one of the things, this is one of the reasons why I talk so much about just being consistent in coming and listening to the word. Why? Because we are so prone to take stupid pills. We're so prone, if we're not constantly hearing the word, if we're not constantly in contact with him, we are prone because of our inward inclination towards sin. The sin that dwells within this body of flesh. There is a proneness in me that if I don't stay close to him and in contact with him, I have a proneness to wander. Would you agree with that? Can you identify with that? Isn't that what Isaiah said? All we like sheep have what? We've gone astray. That is true of every one of us in here. Don't be looking around. You know, saying, you know, he's talking about you. No, it's all of us, right? Okay. Trying to find out where I was. Okay. Oh, Lord, we and our kings, princes, and ancestors are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. But the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. Now, there is an insight. You feel like you're too sorry, too low down. You've just failed again and again and again. You can't come to God. What did he just tell you? The nature of God is to be forgiving. The problem is not with God forgiving. The problem is with you confessing. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has disobeyed your law and turned away, refusing to listen to your voice. So now the solemn curses and judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out against us because of our sin. You have done exactly what you warned you would do against us and our rulers. Never in all history has there been a disaster like the one that happened in Jerusalem. Every curse written against us in the law of Moses came true. All the troubles he predicted took place. We have refused to speak mercy from, or to seek mercy from the Lord our God. How? By turning from our sin and recognizing his truth. So there's a pathway to mercy. The Lord has brought against us the disaster he prepared, for we did not obey him, and the Lord our God is just in everything he does. O Lord our God, you brought lasting honor to your name by rescuing your people from Egypt in a great display of power. But we sinned and are full of wickedness. In view of all your faithful mercies, Lord, please turn your furious anger away from your city of Jerusalem, your holy mountain. All the neighboring nations mock Jerusalem and your people because of our sins and the sins of our ancestors. Oh, our God, hear your servant's prayer. Listen as I plead. For your own sake, Lord, smile again on your desolate sanctuary. Oh, my God, listen to me. Hear my request. Open your eyes. See our wretchedness. See how your city lies in ruins. For everyone knows that it is yours. We do not ask because we deserve help, but because you are merciful. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, oh, my God, do not delay. For your people and your city bear your name. I went on praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people, pleading with the Lord my God for Jerusalem, his holy mountain. So it could be your family. It could be your business. It could be our church. You just fill in the blank where he says he's praying for Jerusalem and for his holy mountain that God's mercy will come back there. Just put in whatever it is that's on your heart. As I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. He explained to me, Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given. I am here to tell you what it was, for God loves you very much. Now listen so you can understand the meaning of your vision. Let me tell you something. God answers prayer. But because I do not understand biblical prayer, I don't get the answer that God is willing to give. And the thing that is so important for us to see here is that Daniel did not stop praying. And what I'm simply telling you is, when we are focusing during the month of October on prayer, and you're like, man, a whole month on prayer. Hope you're not saying that. Because what I'm telling you is, consistent praying brings about a blessing that just a one-time request doesn't bring to you. Doesn't mean that God hasn't heard, but we just haven't received it yet. Does that make sense? Okay. So what does God want to say to us in this? If I'm going to learn how to pray, I've got to learn two or three truths that I want to give you this morning. There are more, but not in a lot of time. Number one, if I want to pray in a crisis or whenever, I listen before I speak. You listen before you speak. And in your walk with God, you and I need to be doing more listening than talking. Sometimes we just talk too much. We rattle on. We are spending a whole lot of time praying. And instead of praying, we need to be listening to Him. So here's the insight I want you to see in your outline. God initiates, we respond. That's what I see here in Scripture. And that is a Bible principle. So kind of finish some of these. We love Him because He, what? First loved us. Nobody comes to the Father except the Spirit draws Him, and I will raise Him up at the last day. Jesus said to the disciples, you did not choose me, I chose you. And then Paul says, there in Romans 10, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear unless somebody preach to them? And how shall somebody preach unless they be sent? What does that mean? It means that salvation starts with Him. We come to Him because God first comes to us. And it's just a principle that's laid out in the Word. God presents Himself often to us as from the male perspective of our species. Men and women together form the core personality of who God is. And the main deal about us as guys is that we are the initiators. We're the initiators. We are the pursuers. Men pursue women. Sometimes it gets kind of turned around, but the way it is normally is the guy does the chasing, right? Why? Because we are the initiators. We go after that young lady. That's God's nature. God comes to us first. We love Him because He first loved us. Now go back to look, if you will, at chapter 9, verse 1. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, who became king of the Babylonians. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, notice this, number one, was studying the writings of the prophets. And then number two, I learned from the word of the Lord as recorded by Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. And so here's what I want you to look at the next insight in your outline. Prayer is birthed from listening to God, not talking. How do I primarily listen to God? How do you listen to Him? You listen to God through the Word. You listen to Him through Holy Scripture. That is another reason why we promote so much here about you reading through the Bible in a year. Because that's got to become part of our life. If we're ever going to be the church that God wants us to be, if you're going to be the man or woman that you can be, you have to be in the Word. Because if you're not in the Word, you're not going to get your prayers answered. In fact, if you're not in the Word, you don't even know how to pray. You see, this is the thing. I don't know how to pray. Would you say automatically that you just on your own know how to pray? You say, well, I can come up with some things to ask for. No. You know, what I'm talking about is, how do I approach God? How do I approach Him? Do you understand approaching God is hugely important? I approach God formed out of a knowledge from the Word of God of who He is. When I understand who He is, when I understand the kind of God that He is, that changes everything. When I get down on my knees, the thing that needs to be going through my mind is, what is it I have learned from the Word? What has God told me first? What have I heard from Him before I start talking to Him? Well, what He has told me, what He's told you, is the same thing that He's told you, is that He is the one who has given us life. You are bowing before somebody who is the reason you and I are here. We're not here because of the lovemaking of our mom and our dad. We are here because God created us and He chose us. I am a man, not because of just some random coming together of sperm and egg, and it just happened to wind up that way. No. I am what I am because that is what God created me to be. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I knew you as male or I knew you as female. And it's all part of my plan. He is the one who gave me life. I am bound before the one who called me to Jesus. I am the one who knew where room 76 was in Tally Hall back in 1968. And I walked into that room and I had no idea he was there. But man, he cornered me before I knew it. And my Father made me willing. He chased me. And when I saw him, I fell on my knees. And I gave up every man-made, selfish-centered dream that I had for my life. And I just said, God, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I do because I have been overcome with you. And when I kneeled down before him, I realized he is the God who has kept me and he's kept you. And he's kept you from a lot of dumb and stupid and crazy things that you would have done if God hadn't been there. Would you say amen to that? He has watched over us. He has directed us. He is the God who has protected you. He is the very source of your life. You breathe because of him. Let me tell you something, that all forms how I pray. It's not just what's coming out of my mouth. It is my heart attitude. And then in the Word, it tells me what I am supposed to pray. Did I let Him speak to me from the Word? Notice in the text it says that Daniel was studying the writings and he learned from the Word. And that just simply means the pathway to prayer begins from Bible study and learning what God wants you to know. And so you form your prayer based upon what you understand that God has taught you from Holy Scripture. That formulates how you pray. And that means that if you want prayers that are answered, you be in the Word every single day of your life so you can learn the promises that God gives to you and you also learn God's will for your life so you know how to pray. John 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if you stay connected to me and my words remain in your heart, in other words, the Bible, you may ask any request you want in prayer and it will be given to you. Let me give you a truth here about prayer. Two conditions of answered prayer. Stay connected to God in obedient living and stay in the Bible to learn His ways and promises. And so if you've not been having your prayers answered, the thing is to ask yourself the question, is something between me and Jesus kind of out of whack? You know, is there something in my life that it's not the way that it ought to be? Is there anything in your life that you know is wrong and God has told you to get it right and you haven't? Let me tell you something. If that is true, if you know you're doing something that you ought not to be doing and you're still doing it, there is a disconnect between you and God. And Jesus said, if you want your prayers answered, if you stay connected to me, that's primary. If we're not connected to him, our prayers don't get answered. It forfeits answered prayer. And the pathway to answered prayer is that you just never go to bed. You never go to bed. You never go to bed. You never what? That's where you're from. Yes. You never go to bed without time in the Word and in prayer. Why? Because you need that every day. You need it every day. Is there any day of the week you don't want God's blessing? Okay. Then you just don't, you just don't go to bed. And you say, well, I don't like all this legalism. It's not about legalism. It is about understanding how to live life. And so the next truth is prayer is why Daniel missed a lot of problems and had such wisdom for living and kept being promoted in life. And you notice one of the things Daniel is doing, he's reading the book of Jeremiah. And he's in a crisis mode because he's overcome with being in exile and he doesn't want to die in exile. He wants Israel and he himself, he wants to go back to Jerusalem. And he knows that as a people, all of his people haven't come back to the Lord. They're not following him. And he's concerned, are we going to miss it? Is when the 70 years is done, are we going to be able to go back and see God's promise fulfilled? Or are we going to miss all of that? See, Daniel and Jeremiah were contemporaries. In other words, when Jerusalem was sacked by Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was taken as a prisoner. Jeremiah was left in Jerusalem. He was left because he had been predicting. He told him, he said, you need to surrender. You need to surrender because God has said, it's done. I'm going to hand you over to Nebuchadnezzar. And a lot more of you will live if you will surrender now, but they didn't. And so Jeremiah got honored. And they let him say, you can live where you want to live. You can go and do what you want to do. We're going to be nice to you because of what you did. Well, here's what Daniel was reading. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 10. God says this to you. You'll be kept in Babylon 70 years, but then I'll keep my gracious promise to bring you back to your home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans for your disaster. My plans will give you hope in the future. In those days when you pray, I will listen. So here's what God just told Daniel, and he gets his hopes all stirred up. And what he told Daniel, he said, Daniel, I have a plan for your life. And it's a good plan. But now listen, it's not automatic. God has a good plan for your life. God has a good plan for my life. But it is not automatic. And here's the truth in your outline. God's plan for us pivots on two factors. His timing, my praying. That's what makes prayer so important. Israel is going to be in Babylon 70 years to the day. In other words, they were not going to go home early. They were not going to go home 1 hour earlier, 1 day earlier. And so what that means is God's giving us an insight. Daniel's life was on a timetable. And at the right time, Daniel was going to return. And everybody else was going to too. And Daniel was going to pray for when that time came, Daniel would pray for the doors to open for liberation, for them to open up. And God said, I will listen. And so here's the thing. When I'm praying, I need to understand in my life and everything that happens in my life, in this church and everything that happens in this church, God has a timetable. There's a timetable for everything. Why? Because God is sovereign. God's watching over everything. Everything works according. God is working out a plan. And so there's a timetable, but it also involves my praying. So the truth in your outline, God has a sovereign plan for your life based on a timetable, and you're asking for it in prayer. James 4:2, you do not have what you need because you do not ask God for it. So there's some things that God has planned for your life that he hasn't done because either you don't have a biblical prayer life or it's not time. And so you've got to determine what that is. What do you want in life but you haven't been asking God for it? Well, the Bible says, first of all, get in the Word and let him talk to you about what you ought to be wanting and the way you ought to be directing your life, and then talk to him in prayer. So prayer, first of all, begins with him. I listen before I speak. But then number two, turn your face to heaven. He says, verse 3, so I turn to the Lord God in prayer. In other words, this is, all right, let me give you marriage 101. Guys, watch this. This can really turn everything around, okay? You got paper and notes? Are you ready? It'd be really good for her to see you're ready to write that down. Your marriage can really have an uptick if when your wife says something, you're looking at her. And whenever she talks, you're like, what? And you're looking. You got your face turned toward her. You might even lay the remote down. That's a lot of points. Lay the remote down, you turn, and you look at her until she stops talking. And then you answer intelligently. You know, like you've been paying attention. Remember, that'll score some huge points. Because here's the truth in your outline. Crisis praying calls for giving our full attention to heaven. In other words, God is simply saying, when I talk to you, listen to me. You see, that's the whole thing about relationships, is that when somebody talks to us, you turn your face to them, that you listen to them. Let me give you some examples I found in the Word. Amos chapter 5, verse 4. Seek me, and you will live. I don't know of any of us that don't want to live. Now, that doesn't just mean sucking in oxygen, does it? Because there's a lot of people sucking in oxygen that want to die. Why? Because they're not living. There's a lot of existing going on. Would you agree with that? There's a lot of miserable people. There's a lot of husbands and wives that are living in the same house and are emotionally divorced. They're just two people living under the same roof, but they're not together. They're not together. They're not in a relationship. You know why? Because they're not seeking each other. And God simply says, seek me and you will live. Why? Because God's a source of life. And so there's the first thing. If I really want life, I need to start seeking him. And he says in Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. If you said lately, I just can't find God, let me tell you why. It's because you're not seeking him. And you say, but no, you're not seeking him. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. Here's the truth in your outline. It's not what we seek, but whom, that's priority one. So here's the thing. If you are frustrated because it's like, I just don't feel like I can touch God. I don't feel like that God is listening. You have to ask yourself the question, have I been seeking God? Or, listen, have I been seeking something I want from him? You see, it's not about in prayer that I'm seeking money. I seek him. It's not in prayer that I'm seeking a mate. I seek him. It's not that I'm seeking a job. Oh, God, I need a job. No. You need him. You need him. You need God. The Bible says we seek God first, and then he takes care of everything else, right? You seek me first. Here's the thing. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of life difficulties. There's pressure in some lives. Maybe here this morning in the next two services, there's stress. Just plain life mess is because we do not seek him first. In other words, what I mean by that is we make decisions. We go out because we're able to, and we buy a house, we buy a car, we buy a boat, we buy a lakefront property. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But we don't ask him first if that's what we should even do. If that's what we ought to do. And you're like, why should I even ask that? Because you don't know what tomorrow holds. And who wants to be in debt for lakefront property when you lose your job? And God might would tell you, this is not the time to be doing that. It's not necessarily that it's not never. I know it's a double negative. It isn't that, but that rather, this is not the time to do that. Don't do that, but we do it anyway. And, you know, we're after a pair of pants or we're after a skirt. And we do, it just seems like everything, it all lines up, but we don't ask him about that. And when we don't have that leadership of him, stuff happens. The truth, when you don't ask God for life guidance, God backs off. And I tell you, there's a lot going on in some of our lives. We've got some relationship issues, some job issues, some move issues, some purchase issues that aren't God approved. Let me tell you what God did. And it's all in Scripture. Let me give you this. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. And just listen to what he said. I will return to my place on high. This is God talking. And wait until they acknowledge their offenses and feel their guilt and seek my face. Then in their trouble and distress, they will earnestly seek me, saying, let us return to the Lord so that he may heal us. In other words, God simply says, when you don't ask me, when you don't seek me, when you don't ask me before you do all this, God said, I tell you what, I'm just going to back it up, and I just let you go ahead. You go ahead. You do whatever you want to do. You make all your decisions. And then when those consequences start happening, call on me. So that brings us to number 3, pray with emotion. Okay? So we seek him. We let God speak first. We turn our face to him, and then we pray with emotion. Jeremiah 29:13. You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Do you realize how much of our praying is cut and dried? In getting ready for this message, I've really gotten convicted about that. How many of you, when it comes time to pray over your meal, you pretty well know what you're going to pray? Let's just be honest, okay? Let's just be honest. I'm going to raise my hand. So I'm going to just get up. I mean, you know pretty well what you're going to pray, and pretty well what you pray at lunch is pretty well what you pray all the time. Raise your hand. This is confessional. All right, there you go. Right? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God's like, huh. I mean, right? It was like, how would you just, it's just out of a book. What does that even mean? You know, Catherine asked me, do you love me? So while I'm on my iPad, yeah, I do. And I married you 44 years ago, that it still holds. And then I noticed there's some air across my face. That's because she's just walked out of the room. She's like, okay, oh, and the meal's on you. Good luck with that. You know, you just, so she's not going to do that. And the Bible simply said, you see, God is an emotional God. I have emotion because I'm created by an emotional God. God's emotional. God gets angry. God gets concerned. God gets burdened. He has all these emotions. Verse 3 in Daniel 9, he pled with God in prayer and fasting. He said, God, I want to go home. I don't want to die in this place. And so the whole thing is, when we pray, we need to be in that. We need to be in that. That whatever you ask of him, be in it. All right, let's bow our heads for just a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And I want to ask you this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity just to respond. In Jeremiah chapter 50, with eyes closed, just listen very carefully. Jeremiah 50, verse 4. Then my people will join together in tears to seek the Lord. And they will ask the way to Jerusalem. And they will start back home again. They wanted to know how. You see, Daniel didn't know how to get back home. Nobody there in Babylon knew how to get back home when the 70 years was over. So many of them had never even been there. They didn't know the way back home. And I think that's the way a lot of us are maybe this morning. Maybe you're at a place in your life, and for the life of you, you know that you've wandered away from the Lord, but maybe you're just not sure how to get back. How do I get back? Well, I want to invite you to come this morning. As Stacy leads us in the invitational time, I want to open up the altar just to invite you to come. And we're going to pray. We're going to humble ourselves before him. We're going to start this whole thing about the month of prayer and just seeking him. To say, Father, I want to pray prayers that are answered. And I know that means that I need to know what your will is for me. And maybe you say, Lord, this morning, I'm just feeling like I'm wandering around. And I want to know what I need to do. I want to know how to get myself back in touch with you. If that's your heart desire, let's all stand together this morning. We're going to sing to the Lord. I want to invite you to come. When everybody's come that I think wants to come, we're going to...